This is a letter from James to Christians everywhere. That's what we call the book of James. It's really a letter that was written to Christians everywhere. And he is explaining that good deeds are the evidence of a strong faith. Genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ transforms lives. And if our lives are truly transformed, it'll be seen in the way that we live our life. Now, this was one of the very first New Testament letters written. And the style of James is very similar to the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus did in Matthew 5, showing that James clearly had the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ in the back of his mind when he wrote this book. As we've been doing the overview of the Bible, and it relates even into the birthday of the church, you know, which is Pentecost today, and sometimes we don't realize that the whole New Testament is about Pentecost, is about receiving the gift and the love of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, I wish I could be a better Christian preacher"? And sometimes I think that too. I think, well, maybe I better be a better preacher, and if I'm a better preacher, I can be a better Christian. So with the earliest desires, a couple that attended Bible conferences to learn more about the Scriptures, read books about prayer, and engage in discussions and doctrines. But something was missing in their life. Then they read the book of James and realized what it was. Becoming a Christian involves not only learning all we can about the Bible, but also applying what we learn. We cannot merely just be hearers of the word of the Christian truth and the doctrine and the prayer. We must also put it in actions and be doers also. This letter was written by James, Jesus' half-brother, and he was a leader at the church in Jerusalem. James is also mentioned in Matthew 13 as a brother of Jesus. He was probably one of the brothers mentioned in John chapter 7 also, who scoffed at Jesus, and they just didn't believe him. But obviously a great transformation came over James. We know he was with the disciples in the upper room when Jesus ascended into heaven. We looked at that last week as Ascension Sunday. And he gave a stirring speech at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. Now this letter was probably written around AD 49, probably from Jerusalem. And after Stephen was martyred, persecution of the Christians increased, and many were forced to flee from Jerusalem. Believers scattered throughout the Roman Empire, and this actually helped speed up the spread of Christianity. But because of these early believers, they did not have the support of an established Christian church. James wrote to them as a concerned leader to encourage them to remain strong in the faith during difficult times. And that's a good word for us today. Remain strong in the faith during these difficult times. I don't have to tell you that we are going through some difficult times now, not only with the COVID, but these terrorists, domestic terrorists, that are now coming into our country. James wrote that real faith transforms. And while good works do not save us, when we are saved, the fruits of our life, this new life in Christ, will be seen throughout our good works. Our faith in Christ must be a living faith, a faith that is not merely a creed or a system of religion or a doctrine, man's doctrine, if you would, not God's doctrine. We must not only hear the truth, but speak it and live it. Christian living, indeed, is just that. Christian living is not merely hearing or knowing or even becoming. Did you ever say, "I wish I could be a better Christian"? Like I confessed, I do too sometimes. But we have to live what we've learned, practice what we believe, and become the embodiment of the faith in Jesus Christ. Then you will not only live your faith, you will also attract others. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful book. It's not very long. It's only 5 chapters long. But there's a lot of meat in the book of James. He talks about how we should listen and do. He says in chapter 1, verse 19, "Dear friends, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Your anger can never make things right in God's sight." Amen. That's a word for all of us in this time. And also over in chapter 2, James talked about in verse 17, about behavior. He said, See, it isn't enough that you just have faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds. No faith at all is dead and useless. Some translations say, faith without works are dead. And then in chapter 3, it talks about controlling our tongue. That's a hard one. That is really, really, really hard. In verse 1 in chapter 3, he said, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged by God with greater strictness." He said, then we all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongue can also control themselves in every way. Over in chapter 4, this is one of my favorites. If you heard me sing this song, "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher." What a joy. James chapter 4, verse 10. New Living Translation says this: "When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, he will lift you up and give you honor." That's the encouragement that we have. You know, we do have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith. In the King James Version, it says, "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Who did you turn to the last time you were discouraged? Sometimes we think people are our best encouraging, and most of the time they are, because we can see them and touch them. But the most sure and lasting encouragement comes from God himself, through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit who came to us on Pentecost. Because he sees the future and how we fit into the future. He knows our needs, and unlike people, he can love us perfectly. He can love us exactly as we need to be loved. Sometimes I just want to say, "Daddy, let me crawl up on your lap. I need to talk to you, and I need you to hold me and give me a word of encouragement today. Thank you, Father." Because we should seek prayer as an attitude. Because if we pray in the right attitude, God promises to hear and to comfort us and lift us up. One of the most, I guess, famous or whatever from the book of James is the power of prayer. And in James chapter 5, starting at verse 13. I'm going to read this because it's important in our day and time that we're living in. And James asks a question in verse 13. "Is any among you suffering? They should keep on praying about it, and those who have reason to be thankful should continually sing praises to the Lord." Verse 14, he says, "Are any of you sick? They should call for the elders of the church." The elders of the church is the mature believers in Christ, not necessarily pastor. Any mature believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is called an elder of the church. And we have a lot of them at Bethel, and we're grateful for that. "But call upon them and have them pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord." And in verse 15, "And the prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well. And anyone who has committed sins would be forgiven." Praise be to God. In verse 16 it says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results." Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, and none then fell for the next 3 years, 3.5 years actually. And then he prayed for rain, and down it poured. The grass turned green, and the crops began to grow. What a wonderful opportunity to be vulnerable in the sight of the Lord. And we often think about the church, not necessarily Bethel, but the church, the worldwide church of the living God through Christ, as a place where we have to wear our best clothes and put on our happy faces and appear to have no problems or struggles. What a shame that the community of the most capable ability to have supernatural love instead encourages sometimes dishonesty and numb existence, hidden behind a cheerful face or a facade. And James encourages us not only to confess our sins before God, but to confess them to each other. And until we are willing to be honest with ourselves and honest with others, we will never experience that true fellowship that is possible among God's people. Is there anyone with whom you can truly be vulnerable with? I hope you do. One of the most beautiful things about marriage between a man and a wife, that if they can truly have that marriage blessed by God, that they can be open and vulnerable with each other, makes a wonderful thing. But sometimes people don't get married, but you really need a good friend, somebody close that you can just go to and pour out your heart, if you would. So you have to be able to consider sometimes people trustworthy enough to express your deepest needs, and that's hard. But there are people there that you can have as a prayer partner or somebody to help keep you accountable, and you can keep them accountable. It says in Ecclesiastes that two are better than one, because when one falls down, the other one's there to pick you up. What a joy. So, the church is a caring and loving fellowship where people are accepted as they are and encouraged towards spiritual growth. Last week at Heritage Sunday, when we were doing things, talking about Bethel and how it has touched people over the years, Pat Singletary said, "You know one thing about our church, we accept people just the way that they are. We don't judge them, we love them, and we care for them just the way that they are." So what a wonderful time to be able to be in the Word and being able to encourage one another in the faith. And James closes his little letter, starting at verse 19 in chapter 5. When he says, "My dear brothers and sisters, if any of you among you wander away from the truth and is brought back again, you can be sure that the one who brings that person back will be saved, and the sinner will be saved from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins." Well, it's been a joy just to share the little book of James, little 5-chapter book, but it's a book that's full of grace and love. And it's encouraging. And we hope and pray that on this day of Pentecost that you've already accepted that gift of eternal life, that gift of love and grace through the Lord Jesus. But for some reason, if you never have, it's Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, has been on television lately and just with an advertisement that their church, the Evangelistic Association, pays for to be on these secular stations. And he just says, "God loves you, and we love you. And if you want that love of God, just have this simple prayer. I'm a sinner, and I know I need love and grace, and I need forgiveness. And if that's your desire, say, 'Lord Jesus, come into my life and be Lord over it.'" What a powerful statement. But sometimes we who have accepted Christ in our life, we kind of drift away from the truth. And that's an attitude of repentance, which means just turn around and come back to the Lord. But we have to openly confess that with our lips. And we give God the glory this morning. Pray that you've been blessed by the book of James. God bless you.